As we see the emergence of artificial intelligence basically in every aspect of our lives, have you thought about the possibility of religious exemptions in workplaces that use AI? Why do I ask that question? Well, more and more articles are bringing this to light. In fact, recently, the Pope released his first encyclical, which was safeguarding the human person in the time of artificial intelligence. So for employers, this type of high-profile religious guidance related to AI is likely to shape how some employees understand how moral it is to use AI tools at work. And it could actually could lead to more requests for accommodations when it comes to using AI. And so I wanted to talk about this with our one of our employment experts on the show. Our employment attorney, Gary Phelan, is back with us. And Gary, first of all, are you shocked that this is coming to potentially fruition at workplaces?
Well, good morning, Melissa. And, I'm not, just because there's been really a resurgence of religion, particularly among younger individuals, and those are and that's the kind of the group, you know, the Gen Z, 18 to 29 year olds, who are most, you know, using AI or being forced to use AI most frequently. So it's you know, kind of the clash that is emerging on this issue. I'm not surprised by, and it turns out, you know, the Pope Leo's encyclical is actually only one of several religions that have issued some sorts of statements relating to concerns about the use of AI.
But so, Gary, I haven't read it myself fully, so I don't want to talk out of turn here, but I thought it was more of kind of a warning or an alert or helping people to understand, much like I think this Pope has done before with even social media, but just understanding kind of the dangers surrounding AI and the lack of, I would say, policies or oversight into it. But I'm not understanding. I guess there's a disconnect for me, at least, to understand how you can, you know, ask for a religious exemption when it comes to the use of AI.
Part of it, a lot of it relates to the human judgment, human decision making, which is at the core of many religions. To give you an example, the first time really this became started to be covered in kind of the business press was a software engineer in North Carolina. She was part of she's a Unitarian Universalist church. She requested an exemption from using AI. That religion is rooted in the inherent belief of the worth of every person. She said that there were ethical issues surrounding AI use and the environmental damage caused by AI data centers, and the employer agreed to the accommodation. And so, you know, because of religion being, you know, not necessarily what the you know, it's kind of amorphous when you think of it. It expands into various arenas, but a lot of it, again, goes back to the human judgment. And you and I have talked about this in the last time we were together, you know, about AI tools making hiring decisions or screening out 80% of applicants for jobs. And that's where it's intertwined with issues with respect to human judgment, as well as just the dignity of the individuals, the impact it's having on society, and environmental impact.
And again, we've got employment attorney Gary Phelan here with Hurwitz, Sagarin, and Slossberg right here in Milford, but also a law professor at Quinnipiac University. And we're talking about this potential future, if you will, where people say they want a religious exemption from AI use at the workplace. How would an employee request that accommodation, and how would an employer be able to allow it?
I think it's important if an employee is going to make that request. First, I think they should do it in writing, and they should explain what it is about the, you know, and it doesn't have to be more of like an organized religion. It could be their moral beliefs, but explain why it is, not just say I'm opposed to using AI, but what is it about your sincerely held beliefs and the use of AI that why you have an objection. But part of that equation is also, you know, depending on the amount of AI use in the particular job, what accommodation are you proposing? Don't just say, you know, I'm not going to use AI. The other thing is also to distinguish between what it is that you're objecting to. If you say, for example, I don't think AI is particularly effective, and or in the legal profession where we're seeing a lot of controversy surrounding the AI hallucinations, cases that don't exist. That's not a religious belief. That's I don't like it. And that's not legally protected. And so to distinguish between the two, as far as the employer, first to consider it no different than any other type of religious accommodation request. First, you can, the EEOC says you can make a limited inquiry to make sure that this is really an objective reason. We saw the same sort of thing with respect to the request for exceptions to the COVID vaccine. And so to distinguish between, you know, whether is this really a political belief or is this a truly held belief with respect to, your religion, morality. And so that's kind of the threshold.
But I feel like that gets a little wonky, though. And again, we have Gary Fallon here, but I feel like that gets a little wonky, though. So if you don't even have really a religion that you cite, but you say this morally doesn't align with me, I feel like you're getting into murky waters there, Gary, no?
You are, but a lot of the legal foundation of a lot of the types of religious exemptions date back to the Vietnam War. And where there were more, moral opposition to the, the war is what led to, requests for some sort of exemption from, for example, going to fight in the Vietnam War. So, yes, it is murky. It's one of the reasons why I think it's going to be, certainly a challenge for employers. But the employers then have to determine, okay, is this, would this, whatever accommodation being requested, would it cause an undue hardship? And that really, the employer will have to show if they're not going to make the accommodation or make some accommodation, show that the burden, would result in substantially increased cost. And cost doesn't necessarily mean financial cost. I mean, you don't have 50% of a person's job is doing, using AI. Doesn't mean that you have to hire a person to do half the job. That would be an example of an undue hardship. Also important, though, to discuss it, to be open-minded about whatever the requests are.
So we had already started seeing articles about the potential of workers wanting religious exemption from AI use in the workplace. Interestingly enough, we have employment attorney Gary Fallon back on the show talking about this. I don't know if you heard any of my coverage, Gary, but I went into very deep depths on the story about CSCU, the former chancellor, Terrence Chang. He just produced and released a more than 2,000-page report to basically improve the college system, which, again, oversees a lot of our state colleges, community colleges, and online coursework for Connecticut students for higher ed. And according to ChatGPT, between 80 to 95% of that report was AI generated. And what's interesting is that's a whole, we could get into that, obviously. But what I want to ask you, though, is one of the questions that I started talking to my listeners about with this is if you work, for example, in a job, for an agency where our tax dollars are going to it, should there be kind of a cap on how much AI is used? Because, look, I think everybody is admittedly starting to use AI in some regard. But, in school, we are taught to not plagiarize. You have to source things. You can't, have to write things in your own words, things like that. And we're sort of in this, again, kind of murky place with AI that we could certainly abuse it or we could certainly use it. And some people don't even detect it until it's too late. So I don't know if you feel like, religious exemption is a little bit different, obviously, than sort of putting a cap on how much AI use could be used. But do you feel like we do need to put some of those protocols in place for certain lines of work? For example, something that your tax dollars are paying for, should people have to, be capped at how much AI they can use in the workplace?
That's a very good question and a very complicated one.
Yeah, I figured.
I think it depends on the nature of the job. I think it's hard to necessarily, quantify how much, AI use, for example, that a government employee should be able to use. At the heart of this, though, again, is we are getting, and certainly I've seen it in the legal industry, such mixed messages. Yesterday, for example, a lawyer I know posed a question where an employer, or a client was requiring their lawyers to use AI or we're not going to use you anymore, simultaneously with a Connecticut judge encouraging lawyers to not go along with clients who say you need to start implementing AI. And so, we are really in such, uncharted waters here as far as how it can be utilized. And that's frankly part of the reason why I think you are going to see an increase in these religious exemptions, because the ones, the generation that are going to be forced, a lot of entry-level positions to use AI, are a lot of the younger workers, where there's actually been, amongst the younger generation, more and more people who are embracing religion as a way to create community. And I think those are, developments, as well as the fact that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in their new national enforcement plan has identified, protection of religion and religious accommodations as one of their major priorities. But I'll leave it to the experts to decide how much, use of AI. But as a, as a law school professor, I know this was definitely a problem, because I was reading where some schools, like a prominent law school in California, is just prohibiting the use of AI. Mm. On the other hand, how do you do that where they're going to many employers who are requiring them to use it?
Right. Like, you don't want to hold back from the education on it. But again, you also want to make sure that people are expanding their creative thinking it's. It's a tough spot to be in, because there is so much good to AI. There is, really. But it's a tool, and you don't want it to replace what humans can still do, I should say. And so I feel like you're on sort of this line of, and again, everybody's, I'd say virtues, morals, how they feel about AI is going to differ from one person to another.
Right. And that's why I think I try to, say, OK, what's positive about it? Any development, any type of change is going to cause resistance. But how it can be utilized. But I think the problem is, where particularly in the academic arena, it's being seen as a sort of a shortcut, cheating. And, I remember one, the Norwalk Hour, where the front page was all about how at Connecticut colleges, how employers or professors are struggling with the use of AI, essays being handed in that are clearly AI generated, while at the same time high schools dealing with the fact of people, students with using phones in classes and being distracted, and certainly the controversy, related to the educational score is dropping for the first time in a generation. Mm-hmm. A lot of it saying that it's because looking at screens, you don't really understand as much, because students tend to skim information as opposed to really immersing themselves in it. So you and I are probably not going to settle this problem today, but it is certainly, I think, at the core of one of the most important issues, I think, in American society right now.
I mean, what would you advise then, Gary, if we can leave on that note? What would you advise employers to do to prepare for this? Because it is coming. I mean, I think we can certainly agree that there is going to be an increase, I would imagine, in requests for religious accommodations for AI at work.
Absolutely. Well, I think employers should be implementing policies relating to AI use in their workplaces, tied to the example you used. If you're are you going to encourage it? Are you going to discourage it? I think that's the first thing that I think is very important. And number two, to have sort of an open dialogue about it amongst your employees, kind of these sort of town hall types of things that many employers utilize. Mm-hmm. I mean, like in the Gen Z, 18 to 29, 48% believe that AI is negative for society. I think it's important for employers, if they really believe this is something they're going to use, to not just say, you know, for example, as some employers are saying, you know, use it or you're fired, but to say why, explain why you think it's important and how it can be utilized, what are the benefits of it, but also at the same time, when you have AI policies, incorporate into those policies the possible availability of religious accommodations for them. At the same time, for employees not to just think that, okay, if I just say I don't like AI, so I don't have to use it, to think, how can I get the job done as efficiently and as well if I don't use it?
Mm. Yeah, I love what you said, which is having obviously that conversation, kind of open dialogue and not, you know, one side or the other. But even saying, you know, hey, let's educate ourselves on AI. Let's make sure that if you are going to, you know, do a religious exemption, for example, or you feel like you want to tailor how you do your job by taking AI out of the equation, at least, you know, requiring, if you will, that all employees go through some kind of training just to also understand AI and how it's being utilized and why you're, like you said, really outlining why you would use it for your workplace. I think, you know, more dialogue and more transparency with it is better than to just kind of do an ultimatum, certainly. Gary Phelan, always appreciate having these conversations. We will certainly track how AI in the workplace, how employers and employees navigate it going forward and continue having conversations like this, I'm sure, in the future. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melissa.
And again, that's Gary Phelan, our employment attorney on the show with Hurwitz, Hagerin, and Slossberg here in Milford, also a law professor at Quinnipiac University on WICC.